I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Welcome, everybody, to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. I am your main host, the evil Evan Showman. Here, my cackling friend next to me, this is Dion Harrison. He gonna laugh at whatever I say. Do it. Then, on the other
end... That train's never late.
Then, on the other end, we got our man, Dan Rose, who, after answering 44 emails upset with our show last week and accused us of sexism... and homophobia, not one of them responded to Dan's very polite emails saying that we had apologized. So if you get offended easily, don't listen to this fucking show, go away, and don't come back, because we don't want you anyway. There, I said it.
Damn, well, I guess we're going to start off like that.
Dan doesn't like that, do you, Dan?
Wanted to every one of those 44 people. And not one of them took the time to say, hey, even thanks for an explanation. So to the 44 out there,
see,
eat dicks.
Yeah.
All of them.
Someone, hey, just so you listeners know, no one contacted us on our email. No one contacted us on our Twitters, our Facebook, the Crimson Canvas, anything. All of them sent emails directly to the Crimson Canvas podcast. Dan got to deal with all of them. It was absolutely ridiculous because they accused us of things that aren't true. I'm sorry, that thumping right there is my dog. Oh, I guess since my dog's thumping, I'm animal sexist.
PETA's going to call you now.
PETA going to call me because I want to turn my dog into a coat or something.
Does that mean I have to take my chinchilla socks off?
Take your chinchilla socks off. Stop getting offended about everything. God damn, it's just entertainment. You want to get offended? Go onto YouTube and listen to the neo-Nazis that plays videos. That's some offensive shit.
How about Donald Trump? Is that offensive?
Donald Trump.
His hair's offensive.
Who could possibly be our president? That's offensive. And I'm not saying, like, things that are actually offensive. I'm saying everything. If you're offended by everything, you feel the need to write notes to people all the time when it comes to, like, getting bad service, stop.
Yeah.
Just
basically, if you have the sense of humor of a cactus, this might not be the...
Just go away. If you want to listen to some wrestling, fighting, you want to listen to Ronda Rousey Mama talk about some judo, some video games... some of our favorite things, then you stick around and listen to this show because you will have a good time.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom roasted.
Boom roasted.
Boom roasted.
So.
I ain't trying to hear all that hate. I'm trying to be happy.
And now if you don't like that, we're going to talk about wrestling.
Because it was a great weekend of wrestling.
If you get sensitive about things like that, wrestling's really going to bum you out because it sucks unless you really like wrestling.
You know what it is? It's because we've been fans for so long. We can't just jump off the train now.
You know what happened the other day? My buddy was listening to the show. He goes, is that the voice you use on the show? I go, what do you mean, is that the voice I use on the show? He goes, that's not how you sound. I go, that's what I sound like. He's like, nah. I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, you're doing that on purpose. I'm like, doing what?
You're making your voice different,
y'all. Making your voice different. Okay.
Making your voice different.
Apparently, I'm making my voice different.
What do you say you sound like?
I don't know, like, ventriloquist, like I was throwing my voice, like, talking over here, and a little puppet was talking here.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Every time I've talked to Evan on air and off air, he has sounded the same.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, rock star status.
Yeah.
Dion, on the other hand, I really can't pinpoint his voice, because all we hear is, like...
Laughter? I know.
Laughter with, like, sporadic words every now and then.
I'm sorry that you motherfuckers are funny. Dang, I can't have a good time. Man,
no, you can't have a good time. Haven't you been listening?
Yeah.
Dan doesn't like it when you have a good time, because it's at his expense every time.
Yeah, it is. That sucks, by the way.
Hey, episode number 30.
This is episode number 30.
You know, we never got one complaint, email, In 27 shows, we have 44 for just one.
And I'm pretty sure we've had this topic before.
I'm pretty sure.
That's how you know.
Never again, though. We know what topic to avoid.
Yeah, if someone wants to talk about the NBA, I'll talk about the NBA. I don't know one person in WNBA, though. Cheryl Swoops.
Is she retired?
What about that Brittany Griner or whatever?
Yeah.
Did she get arrested?
Domestic violence.
She beat up her girlfriend,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, she ain't messing around.
Or they don't beat up each other or something weird.
I'm pretty sure she beat up the other one. Man,
is it racist? Okay, you tell me this. Is it racist to say Brazilians are always late? No, wait. Brazilian, that's not a race. That's a...
That's a, like, a nationality.
Nationality.
You know what you want to say. Go on, say it.
But I don't...
Well, Hillary Clinton said it this week.
What?
She was like, CPT, colored people time.
She did not say that.
Yeah, she did. Then Barack Obama at his...
She said colored people?
Well, she said CPT.
I don't know what that stands for.
And then Barack Obama at his annual dinner, where it's kind of like a roast and they joke around and stuff, he was like, yeah, CPT, it's code for things white people shouldn't say.
Dude!
Yeah!
People are complaining about us?
I think that's one.
Boom! That's colored Yeah, Hillary people? Said that, and then Barack threw it up in her face like, eh-eh.
You say colored people? Hillary. Oh, that's
yeah,
bad.
Hillary don't play. And Obama let her have it.
Good for Obama.
Hey, you know who else was at that dinner?
Obama-rama. What?
John Cena.
Did he say,
you can't see
you
me.
You can't see me.
Him and Nikki Bella.
Oh, they're together still?
Yeah, they're together still.
I thought Cena on Total Divas said,
they have a new show coming out called Total Bellas, where, listen to this, John Cena and Nikki Bella, Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, and... Bria and Nikki's brother and his wife all move into John Cena's house.
Oh, no.
Why?
Yep. Because it's right after Nikki's surgery, and they're all there to kind of like help her out and stuff, because John Cena had just had surgery also. So they decided to make a little television show. Can you imagine poor Daniel Bryan having to live that lifestyle? He's like Mr. Gardening and just wants to go out barefoot and play in the grass. And meanwhile, he's put in this 20,000 square foot marble mansion, and yeah, I guess John Cena lays down the law and like pitches a bunch of fits because people aren't following his rules.
Hey man, listen, I listen to your show, man. I don't like the way you talk about hippies and organic people, man. Like barefoot in the grass, man. What does that mean? Like,
I apologize in advance to any fucking.
I'm gonna go on my eco-friendly laptop and write. I'm gonna write you a letter, and something's gonna be done.
But yeah, it's called Total Bellas.
I wish you could have seen it.
Seen what?
Anything. My wife's happy. My son's healthy. I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks out there. Sorry. So, okay, let's go to Payback, shall we?
Payback,
absolutely.
The great, great pay-per-view.
My name is Enzo Amore, and I got jacked up.
Dude, he was out before he hit the ground.
Eyes were open. He had that, like, that fake, like, I'm driving a semi-truck hands, you know, when guys get knocked out.
Yeah.
And they got the hands out like they're driving a car.
Yep.
He was out.
We see that all the time in the NFL.
He was out, dude. He got
the middle.
They wind up on their back, and then they're like driving a car.
Yeah,
they're driving a car.
I was legitimately nervous for him at first. I thought maybe he did something to his neck, or you know. Yeah.
Then Simon Gotch tried to pick him up by his hair.
Yeah, that was nice, Gotch. Way to go, buddy.
How do you not? I mean, it was obvious something had happened, right?
Oh come on! It was obvious that he was out, just the way he was laying there.
So why would Gotch like? And the referee was right there too, and he grabbed it, and the ref was like, "Yo." I know you're not missing this here right now.
You might want to let go of the dude's head. But he is completely uncool.
Something bad would happen, and he did that?
Like, you're not supposed to move, and he grabs him by the neck?
Yeah.
What's his name? The guy that wrestled Rey Mysterio died the same exact way.
And AAA.
Yep, it's true.
I've never seen someone get smacked up like that, though.
Yeah.
That was like...
He, like, tried to go... I don't know... Did he,
I don't know what the hell he did.
He threw him against the ropes. He tried throwing him underneath the ropes, right? And he kind of, like, didn't go down as fast.
Like, he hit his face on the middle rope.
Yeah, and then just whipped his head back, and then...
His arm and shoulder got whipped in the lower rope.
Yeah.
That looked like a separated shoulder, too, but it wasn't.
At least he's up, moving around, talking, so, you know, that's good. Apparently he just has a really bad concussion, so he's probably going to be off.
You know, I was going to ask you guys, what do you think of that? Because, like, they won't let Daniel Bryan even sniff a wrestling ring because of his concussions. You think they're going to do the same to Enzo and be like, all right, you're on the shelf for forever? Because, I mean,
no.
When you watch,
no.
What, Breaking Ground?
Mm-hmm.
When
that one guy.
Was it Santino? Santino?
Yeah, Santino.
Sabby,
yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah,
and they
the former NFL guy.
Yeah. They put him on the shelf, and they wouldn't let him wrestle. Like, he was getting really frustrated because he's like, okay, it's been 2 months.
But he had a history of concussions.
Yeah, he probably had some concussions from the NFL, and I think that when you have, like, repeated concussions, like Graves, I mean, look at that guy. He lost his career to concussions.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that it's an accumulative thing, and Daniel Bryan was having, like, other issues associated with his neck and everything else, so.
He was fine.
I don't know if you know this, but Enzo played college football, so.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and he was a free safety.
Really?
Yeah.
So he probably had a few.
So.
Well, I don't know then. I mean, he'll have to sit out the mandatory, whatever it is, a month or whatever, and I'm sure he'll be tested. I would assume that the WWE runs baseline tests when wrestlers first sign with the company.
Mm-hmm.
So they can run comparative tests after a concussion and kind of.
Let me tell you guys something. Big Cash was shining on Monday night without Enzo.
Yeah.
It's like, damn. Like, they're a tag team, and that's like they're a package, but Cash did pretty well on his own.
Indeed he did.
He was good on the mic. He was bigger than everyone in the ring.
He moves pretty well.
He moves great for a guy that's 6'11", 6'10", or something like that. He's not 7 foot tall.
But you can't teach that.
They should bring up Carmella, too.
Yeah.
I agree. Part of me wants her to come up. Part of me wants her to stay in NXT because it's kind of it's lacking, especially if they bring Bayley up in terms of female talent down there.
Well, what are they going to do with NXT? I mean, seriously, like, Finn Balor, you're like, oh, he's coming up. Nope.
No.
No, Finn Balor, he's not coming up with Payback. Okay, well, maybe he'll come up at Raw. Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how what's
Dream
going
Rule,
on.
Baby. Dream Rule, baby.
I'm glad that they brought in Eric Young and what's his name from NXT. I mean, not from NXT, from TNA.
Well,
Bobby Roode.
Yeah, he should be up soon.
Gallows and Anderson. I'm not feeling them at all right
really?
Now.
Really?
They don't have any direction.
Yes, because they're trying to do this shit with AJ. It's
right.
Like, I don't know.
AJ's like, I don't want you to hit him, but you're my friends, and I got a terrible haircut. Dude, he has the worst hair.
It's okay.
He really does. Let's
see what he does in the ring.
Oh, Enzo Amore's hair looks less stupid than AJ Styles. And
that's fucked up, because his hair is retarded.
Enzo's hair is fucking horrific.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Yeah, it's
for.
Bad, but you know what? It works for him. Whereas AJ Styles, like, he almost.
He has a bad bob haircut.
He could, like, wear a puffy shirt, you know? And you'd be like, yeah, that fits. That fits that hair. Like a pirate shirt, you know? Like it was on Seinfeld.
That's so messed
I don't
up.
Want to be a pirate.
The puffy shirt. You ever see that episode, Dan?
Yeah, I just said, I don't want to be a pirate.
I don't want to be a pirate! George!
His hair is horrible, though. It's. I don't like AJ's hair. I don't like his voice. I don't like Dean Ambrose's hair either.
You didn't like.
I don't like anything about Dean Ambrose.
But
his match against Jericho was awesome.
Come on, he's just real slow and everything. Like, he threw him against the ring. He did like a slide around on his. He did a 180 on his butt, and then came back out and hit him. He did two of those bouncing off the rope
that's
things
his,
and
that's
coming
his
back.
Signature move.
Man, that ain't good.
The worst move in wrestling.
It is. It really is. It really is.
It's like, and the Codebreaker, I think, is probably my favorite finish.
I just love the Codebreaker. How about Chris Jericho?
That one and Darren Young's finisher.
Oh, the gut check or whatever?
What do you guys think of Darren Young being repackaged?
Bob Backlund.
Bob Backlund.
With Bob Backlund?
Yeah.
He's
going to be his life coach.
He asked Bob Backlund to be his new mentor.
On SmackDown, which you don't want.
Oh, I don't want SmackDown. But
it's something. At least it's something.
He was in that Battle Royal on Monday? Was that Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of that Battle Royal, man, what was the deal with
Apollo Crews?
Well, Ryback, but also
get to Ryback in a minute.
Yeah, what's his name? Heath Slater. Where the hell was he?
Oh, that's crazy.
He was advertised in the little graphic that they showed for it, and then he wasn't out there.
What?
And then I guess he wasn't at SmackDown either.
Uh-oh.
That's not a good sign.
Uh-oh.
There's Trouble in Paradise. Titus came out, he got thrown over the ropes. Baron Corbin came out, he got thrown over the ropes. Apollo Crews, you know how I feel about Apollo Crews, but he got thrown over the ropes. I thought for sure they were going to let him win it.
Apollo Crews is going back down, I think.
You think?
I read that there's some people that Vince McMahon is not happy with, and one of them is Apollo Crews.
What?
He's not happy with his inability to like connect to the crowd, and he also wants to send down the vaudevillains.
Why were they on Raw?
Well, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. It's just things that he's saying. He's not happy with them.
You've been saying that for a long time about Apollo Crews not connected.
I've been saying that. Yeah.
I've never said that. I fucking love Apollo Crews.
You guys think he's great, but I think
the reason I love Apollo Crews so much.
He's an amazing athlete. Yeah. But
is because I used to like him when he was UHA Nation.
He doesn't.
Before he came to NXT.
I said it before, Dan. I say it almost every week you guys talk about Apollo Crews. It's just he's so good in the ring, but he makes it look so easy that it looks like, oh, okay, backflip. Everybody could do a backflip, you know? Oh, yeah, okay, spinning off the top rope like that? Yeah, everybody can do that. That finisher, everybody can do that. It's not the case, obviously, but that's how he makes it look. He doesn't,
yeah.
I don't think he's convincing at all. But because
he's not selling his own offense.
No, because look at Sami Zayn. Look at how over he is and how fast he got over. He's one of,
can I be honest with you?
What?
I like Sami Zayn,
but
I have no idea how he's as over as he is.
Because he's the underdog.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like him when I first saw him in NXT just because I thought he looked like...
Really?
I told you that. I was like, oh, this redheaded Screech-looking motherfucker. Like,
he does look like a combination of Screech and Seth Rogen.
Yeah. But, dude, him and friggin' Kevin Owens...
That match, Payback, was amazing.
And there will not be a better match than that tonight, no matter what. No.
Yeah, that match was unreal.
Those two
work so well together.
Man, Kevin Owens is the best, though. I have so many good things to say about Kevin Owens. He's such a great heel. He makes wrestling funny. Like, he's just, his moveset is just awesome.
For a big guy, yeah. Like the stuff he could do?
That frog splash.
The frog splash he does.
Frog splash.
The cannonball. The cannonball that he does. Dude, he's...
And they're making the Intercontinental Championship mean something. I feel like it's... I don't know. The storyline for the Intercontinental Championship, it seems like it's better than the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
It is, because the World Heavyweight Championship is forced, because Roman Reigns is not over, and they can't get him over. And it's like, the fans refuse to accept him, so they're...
Refuse.
But, like, you have the four guys right now in the Intercontinental mix with the...
The Miz.
The Miz, and Cesaro,
so
Sami Zayn,
awesome.
And Owens. Fucking awesome. They're all great wrestlers, and... They're all very entertaining.
Dude, Cesaro and Kevin Owens on Raw? Did you see it?
Hell
since
yeah.
You don't have a TV?
I saw it on
Absolutely
YouTube.
Absolutely awesome.
You saw it on what?
On YouTube.
How long after the Raws are they up on the network?
Like pretty quick after. Even after the match air.
I mean, hours or days?
Probably like a couple hours.
Yeah, an hour or two.
Yeah. I'm getting some cable this weekend.
Oh, you don't have
yeah,
more
I've
right now?
The last two Raws. It's been tough.
Are you watching the FBA?
No.
No!
The hurt in my voice? No!
No!
It sucks.
Man, I'll tell you, the Warriors...
I saw that game. I saw the highlights.
Jumped the shark for a second and changed subjects on you real quick. The Warriors absolutely stole Portland's soul last night.
They were up by like 11 going into the full...
They were up by 17 in the second half.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you know the Warriors are going to beat them.
You know, Curry's not playing.
Don't matter. That means they'll have better offense, or a smoother offense.
Do you guys see that shot in the Toronto-Miami game and to send it to overtime?
Yes, at half court.
That's bananas.
Yeah. The NBA playoffs have been really exciting. And then the Thunder got their ass whooped on Saturday, last Saturday.
You shut up about that.
Yeah, because I know that you're a huge fan. But hey, they bounced
back. Well, I'm a Warriors fan. They won on Saturday, didn't they?
They got destroyed by like 30, and then they came back and won last night, or
Monday
night.
That's like some game-ending thing that our buddy Josh keeps posting where, like, I think it was Ibaka throwing the ball inbound.
No, Deion Waiters was throwing the ball in.
Elbow.
There's like four fouls on that sequence. In the
you know what? Ball. First off, you can't touch the guy that's inbounds. You can't do that.
That's what he did.
I know.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
But also, Manu Ginobili's foot was over the line. He was standing technically 1 foot out of bounds. You can't do that either.
I didn't see that part. I just know that.
Yeah, I mean, there was like four things that happened that were like... No-nos, and if you start at the beginning, I mean, if you go back and want to call the push-off where he pushed the guy that was defending him, which you cannot do, obviously. Well, also, Ginobili was standing out of bounds, so that would have been the first thing that was called. So, I don't know. I'm pro Thunder, so.
You think the Thunder have a chance to beat the Spurs?
Nope.
Nah.
They got the one game, and they're going home.
Yeah, I think they'll get the one game, and I think they might. I think it'll probably go six, but I just think that they're not good enough to beat him for a series.
When you have players like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, you can win any series.
Hey, dude, I hope they do. I hate the Spurs.
I respect
them. There's one team in the NBA that I don't like. It's the Spurs.
I hate them, too, but I respect their authority.
I respect them somewhat, but I don't like Popovich. I hate Tony Parker.
How you don't like Popovich?
But Pop is awesome.
He's a jackass. He encourages those idiots to flop like nobody's business.
That
team is made up of the most floppers and pussies in the league.
Whoa. Easy, Dan. Easy. True. But yeah,
I'm pumped up. All right, let's get back to WWE.
I know,
so
I'll
I don't
say we're all over the place today.
Say,
but, hey, back to payback, Kevin Owens.
Ginobili. Ginobili, he does fall all over.
He does, but it's okay. So let's imagine that Miz, Cesaro was pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ending, but I see what they're going with that. Having Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens kind of get in the way. Cesaro gets distracted,
yeah.
And Miz with the roll-up cheese.
Who's after that? Jericho?
Jericho Ambrose.
Which I didn't really care for that.
Well, we just know that Dean Ambrose needed that win because he's been losing.
I thought that. Yeah, he did need the win. You're right. But I felt like Dean Ambrose was kind of like going through the motions.
Yeah, that match was. I don't remember anything from that match. So.
Yeah, it was not spectacular. And then the screw job,
that
whatever
the
fuck they were thinking.
That. For little Nate.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, like it works when it. They even really. Like, you can't do that again. Like the first time was this, you know. Organic as fuck.
You ever see that movie with the one with the dragon, Matthew McConaughey? What was that? Ring of Fire? And he rolls up on a tank and he's like, who's in charge here? That's what I feel like saying every time they do shit like that.
Yeah.
When they call, really, you're going to do a screw job again?
Like, in the. In,
why? Montreal like, screw job, now it's a Chicago screw job.
And the referee going into business for itself? Come on. Like.
It's the oldest thing in the book.
And Stephanie and Shane are going to come out. And the World Heavyweight Championship to restart the match, right? But they can't do anything there?
Right.
And the women's title is should be up there with the men?
No, this isn't over. That one's over, but this one's not over.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, WWE.
Dude, I thought that the end of the world title match was pretty awesome.
What happened? Oh, Gallows and...
Yeah, with the finish and then the restart and then the new restart and then everybody coming out. And I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually... entertained by Roman Reigns in that match. I don't think his in-ring work is as bad as people say it is.
He lived up to his end of the deal, like, but it was AJ Styles, though. AJ Styles is just phenomenal. It's like
what?
Yeah.
People hate on Roman. I love Roman.
Roman did a really good job. Roman's good in the ring. It's just everything else that... He just
needs to not be on the microphone.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Hate, like, okay, the people hate you? Fuck the people.
That's exactly
right. Hold the belt up with one hand. Hold your middle finger up with the other.
Yeah. And
it needs to be like the new Crimson Canvas podcast attitude.
Yeah.
But I'll just find that Payback was better than I expected it to be.
I enjoyed Payback quite a bit.
You guys like Raw?
I liked parts of Raw. Parts of Raw still drive me batshit.
It's 3 hours, but we've been beating that dead horse for a long time now, so.
Indeed. I'm not sure how I feel about Stephanie and Shane working together, how long that's going to last.
It's like they're grasping for straws right now, you know?
We don't need Stephanie.
Like, I just keep watching the show going, come on, like, come on. Every segment is like, come on. Like, we give the fans what they want. No, you don't. Charlotte's wrestling, who was it? Emma?
Emma beat Becky Lynch,
Emma and Becky Lynch are wrestling. They're chanting Sasha Banks' name.
Where is?
And they don't put her out there? Like... Okay.
Is she on SmackDown?
I don't know how to watch SmackDown.
Dan?
What's that?
Is she on SmackDown?
Sasha?
Yes.
Not that I know of.
She used to be on SmackDown.
Maybe she's on SmackDown. I don't watch SmackDown.
When Charlotte was wrestling for the title against Natty at Payback, chanting Sasha's name the whole time. They want Sasha. No. Nothing.
Are they saving her for SummerSlam?
I think they're saving her for WrestleMania. How about that?
Dude, people saw... A lot of people in WWE are getting upset with their roles. Starting with...
Ryback! Did you see what Ryback wrote, Dan?
I did. I read his little deal.
I sent it to him because I'm a good.
I read it myself. He didn't even send it to me.
Because I knew you was gonna read it. We're linked up.
Don't be jealous that he sent it to me and not to you.
I'm not really, but I'm just saying. Usually we're both, BCC'd on these things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
We kept you out of the loop this week as punishment for your bad behavior.
Bad, Evan. Get it.
Evan really was over the line this week, so I have a good idea. Let's cut him out of our right.
First of all, someone like that, I was like, what did I say? Did I say the N-word?
You better. Did I say that again this week?
I've been trying to come back. God damn it.
they won't give us what we want. They will not give us what we want.
They give me some of what I want.
What do they give you that you want?
I'm very happy that Cesaro's back and involved in an angle that's fun to watch.
But does he win? Back to Luke.
No, he doesn't have to win everything,
He doesn't win anything.
You sound like Ryback.
He's going to win. He has to win it. He has to win the IC title. He has to.
He's so, when you're that over and you never win anything, and I don't mean belts, I mean matches.
But they make it seem like winning isn't important.
It is important.
Because, we know it is, but to them, they just, you win one, you lose one kind of shit.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
He just jobs, and he's over. And why is someone that's so over, you have to have him job to people?
You know why? That's why people don't like Roman Reigns, because they feel like the only person they really care about right now is him. And he's not going to lose. When's the last time he lost a match?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Been a while.
Exactly. And that's where a lot of the Roman Reigns hate comes from. Because you got guys that are awesome and that are ready for prime time, but WWE just feels like Roman Reigns is the only guy that can be featured and in a prominent role.
I can't wait for you to listen to that back that you just said. Because Roman Reigns is the only guy.
With all due respect, Sherman, I'm not going to take this shit.
Wait, say something. Say that again, Evan. Make fun of Dion a little bit. start to say it.
I left them on film, Ben.
I was like, yeah, this guy is not putting together.
I was trying to make sure I got everything I wanted to say out.
Because someone, you know what? I could have started a what chant in between all those words.
That's what you should have did. What? Somebody.
What?
Could have.
What?
Been in that.
Huh?
That's hilarious.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Can I finish?
Can I finish?
Okay, I'm finished. Look, they hold people back. They push who they want. It's their company. They can do what they want. If you wonder why numbers suck, that's the reason why. Because you're not giving people what they want to see.
We didn't even talk about Ryback.
People want to see Finn Balor.
People want to see Ryback.
People don't want to see Ryback. Nope. What did he say? He was 12-26 on Monday Night Raw or something like that?
Damn.
Right? He said that
in
his little dissertation.
Well, you should have said that. He's like, if we're losing, we should get paid as much as winners.
It's true. Because
it's true. It's a predetermined sport.
Exactly.
I think that it's not so much you should be paid equally winning and losing. You should be paid on account to how much money you bring in. And they get a percentage of their merchandise sales. So, if you're a popular guy and you're over, you sell merchandise.
Yeah.
And, that's how they determine, that's how you make your money. If you're not selling enough merchandise to offset your salary, then guess what, big guy?
Well, look, if you ask me right now, does Ryback deserve as much as John Cena? No. And if he jobbed to John Cena, is he making Cena look better? Not really. Cena's where he's at. Cena should get paid whatever he's getting paid. And
he's
I'm sure
veteran.
It's a lot.
He's been around for, what?
Right. But so is Skip Sheffield. But or Ryan Reeves, whatever you want to call him. It's just that at one point I was watching Raw hoping Ryback would come out until he got the microphone in his hand and started...
I'm the big guy.
I've never felt excited to see Ryback.
No, you did. When he first came and he was destroying people, those jobbers.
When he was doing two guys on his shoulders.
I always thought that was stupid.
Goldberg.
I just don't like Ryback's character. I don't know. Do I feel bad for the individual who's sitting at home now, not going to get paid, or sitting out his contract and not going to resign? Yeah, that's too bad.
That's his own fault.
But it's like, you know, yeah.
Like he agreed to the money they gave him. He agreed to the schedule. He agreed to everything. But he's, like, talking for the little guy. That's, like...
What? He's trying to re-sign to a new contract, and they're way off, I guess, on what he wants as to what they're offering, so...
If you want to make a difference, you need to be CM Punk or John Cena and say, hey, Heath Slater needs to be making as much as me. In my opinion, Heath Slater doesn't need to be making as much as John Cena.
Yeah, this isn't communism.
No one's coming to see...
And that's
later.
And that's what it is. People are coming to see John Cena.
I mean, people aren't paying, like, if you go see, like, the new Batman movie, like, Ben Affleck makes more than the guy that, you know, I have no idea.
No, I know what you're saying. Like,
actors aren't paid the same.
Right.
It's what you're paid in accordance with what you bring to the table.
Right. Like, Crimson Canvas money, I make, like, triple what Dan and Dion make.
You're the headliner.
I don't
want to
go public with it, but Dion, you know, he signed his contract, and he was happy with it. So
I'm not going to bitch out now. I'm like, okay, I'm putting my headset down. I'm going home.
Wait a minute. I deserve more money.
Yeah.
He has a no-compete clause, though. He can't be on any other podcast for, like, 3 days.
Damn it. I should have Evan has the fine print.
I got leverage.
He does.
But, yeah, I mean, so whatever. Ryback can go home. I'm just getting tired. Look, he's just complaining all the time. Like Conor McGregor, I'm at the point with this guy where I'm like, dude, just shut the fuck up already.
You did this to yourself.
He just doesn't stop talking. Like, you just want to focus on training? Fine, train, shut up! Stop talking about
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me. It's like, you couldn't go do this commercial or any of that because you need to be so 100% focused on training. You seem to be focused on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up and train, and then fall back in line like a good boy, and you'll be put on another card.
Like he said, he thinks that he's bigger than all this.
And he's not.
But I think he's learning. I thought in some ways he was, too. And I'm literally surprised that the UFC took the stance that they took.
Glad they did.
They needed to. They really needed to.
They lost a lot of money in this deal.
But they got they send a message that nobody's bigger than their fucking...
So did Conor. He lost a lot of money, and they're still going to do a lot of pay-per-view buys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge card. Okay, so it's going to not be as huge? Whatever, I'm sure they could...
Well, let's be honest. I mean, how many people were even really that psyched to see that rematch?
What, Jones and DC?
No. Connor and...
Oh, nobody! Nobody!
Yeah, nobody cared. Nobody wanted to see
that. The only person that wanted to see that fight was Connor, which is bizarre because Nate, with the full training camp...
Whoop his ass again.
Nate beat his ass with food poisoning, being fat in Cabo, and now we're going to have a two-month training camp?
He's fine.
Like, and that's the fight you want? And now he's like, oh, I'm going to be playing with Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz has made more excuses for the first 8 minutes of that fight than I made for the last 2 minutes. Dude, you fucking lost.
Yeah, but the last 2 minutes were a hell of a lot more compelling in his favor than the first 8. You might have tagged him up. I mean, the Diaz brothers bleed in the shower. So... It's, you know, it's not like some big notion to make the Diazes bleed.
Right.
So, yeah, you landed some shots, you made them bleed, you opened them up. But at the end, only one of you fucking tapped the mat and said, I quit. Only one cried uncle.
Right.
And it was not Nate Diaz.
You ain't never lied, Dan Rose.
Thank you, sir.
You haven't ever lied.
You haven't ever told
the falsehood.
I love it.
I'd like it if you started doing that, Dion. Hey, you haven't ever lied.
Let's hear it, Dion.
I can't do that. My blackness in me will not permit me to.
Can you say Mauro Ranallo?
Yeah, I can say Mauro Ranallo. Kiss my ass, Dan. Kiss my ass. I'm gonna practice. You know how long it took me to practice that?
No.
Yeah. As long as it took you to practice Vancouver?
Yeah, you piece of shit.
Vancouver Bellingham?
Okay, so this week I'm Dan Rose? Okay, that's fine.
How you like it, Dion?
It hurts.
Try the shoes on.
Dan's getting too close to me in Words with Friends. I gotta even the balance out. I gotta make him feel comfortable and good, and then I pack him like I'm a lion on a gazelle.
I love talking wrestling and MMA, but the best part of our podcast is the Words with Friends rivalry that we all have with each other.
What the hell? Dion hit me with a 107-point word the other day.
Damn.
I was just like happily beating him by like 40, like, this game's over. And then all of a sudden it's like, your turn, it's like 107 points, and I'm down by 60. I'm like, what?
You know when you push play, when you have some fire in your hand, that feeling is great. You just like, take that, showman.
Yeah, I know. You did a 69 point on me, and you're still behind by 100.
I know.
He did that last night. I was like, damn, 69 points. Well,
I've got to make it respectable.
It was 269 to 370.
Right. Man, Dion put a beat down on me the other day.
Who did, Dion?
Yeah, it was like 478 to 2 something.
Yeah, sometimes they just shit on people. Just like, I just want to get rid of these letters, so I'm going to do the word Iliulu. So you get rid of I-L-I-I-U-U-U-O.
Words of Friends loves you.
And then they give you...
How many times have you lost to Dan Rose?
What?
Yo.
How many times have you lost
to Dion?
Exactly. You know what I haven't said for a
few episodes?
Hmm?
You know what I haven't said on this show for a few episodes?
Dan Rose?
It's a shit show?
Fuck you, Dion. Been a few episodes since I've said that, so there you go. Fuck you, Dion.
It's just, I mean, every time I, you know, the game starts, and now Dion's doing this thing where he's swapping twice in a row, which you can't do.
You can't. But sometimes the first
sometimes
swap,
you have to, though.
Yeah.
It's like
you swap
four I's and get three U's and a V and an O. Like,
oh, man, they gave me V's and C's. I can't put this anywhere. And then sometimes they give you all vowels. Sometimes they give you no vowels. It'd be cool if they would have some consistency with positivity. Like, oh, it's an M, and there's an A, and there's a C, and there's an I. And okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, four E's, two O's, and a Z. You're like...
yeah.
We're the Friends isn't brought to you by...
You know, on the first
move, cereal.
The last game I played with Dan, I didn't tell him this. The last game I played with Dan, I made my first move, and I got all my letters, and I had J, X, Q, and the Z.
Nice.
My first move, and I kept putting words down like A-H, H-I.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Because I had four letters that were killers that I had to save till we got into spots of the board that I could do work on. So I had to keep doing these, like, 8-point words, and Dan starts coming in with these, like, 20-pointers. Hang on, motherfucker. Like, it's coming. And then it was like, bam, 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 W.
I was pissed. I hate that.
Don't you hate losing to Evan? Because you know he's all smug about it.
I only play, and this is no lie, I only play against Dion, Evan, and Loco. Those are the only three people I play against.
Because there's some fucking cheaters out there, and I'm going to call them out.
Who?
You know who.
Max.
Not Max. I haven't played against that motherfucker in a while. He can kiss my ass. There's chicks.
Chicks?
There's one chick that I talk to, kind of.
Kind of?
Mostly on Snapchat.
Like a friend.
Oh,
like, I ain't even like friends, but like everyone like, so like it hit me with a game. I was like, okay, you dumb, you're not smart. let me lay the smackdown on your Rudy poo candy ass, right? So I'm like, okay, it's this.
First word, lethargic. You don't know what lethargic is.
Come on.
Lethargic was her first word.
It's just like you say, spell all these big words. I'm like, come on, really, really. Really got
like, look, okay, I mean, I take shots in the dark. Like, oh, well, there's a triple, there's a V in front of it. Like, Bardivé. No.
Is that a word? Yes.
Bardivé. No. Yeah, you can tell when someone's plugging a word in.
Yeah.
But when you start the game and someone just locks down like a 7-point word that you're like, what in the shit is that? There is no way that anybody knows what this person is. And you go check the dictionary to see what the word is, and it's like, and it doesn't have a definition, like... It's a word, no definition. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's no good. That's when you just exit the game.
Yeah.
Like, start, I was like, ooh, he just, son of a bitch, did that to me.
See, that's not cool.
No.
Yeah, I only play against you three. That's it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that, too.
And I get real defensive against those people. I start playing like an asshole. Like, just every word right on top of another word. Won't put a vowel in front of a double letter, nothing. Just,
Take that.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's hate out there with words of friends.
Oh, hey, you know what?
Sebdo.
Real quick, we talked about.
I bet you Dion can listen to that laughing.
We want to say go ahead and check out fightbooth.com. You can find our show on there. Also, you can find MMA news and pro wrestling news and articles and stuff. It's a quality site run by Dave, who's a good guy, and we're happy to be associated with him. But what I was going to say is this week in MMA there was a tragedy. We had a guy who was supposed to fight on the May 14th Bellator card. Jordan Parsons.
Oh, yeah, and I read about that.
Unfortunately, he was the victim of a hit-and-run accident, and today he passed away.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's... I sincerely hope, and I know Evan feels the same way, I hope that they find the guy who hit him.
They have to.
Yeah. it's, you know, like I was talking to Evan about it earlier. It's like I said, it's like, even if at the time that you hit, you know, if it, at the accident, even if you thought, like, you hit a dog or you hit something and you weren't sure what happened, by now you know what you did.
Yeah.
You know, so just do the right thing, turn yourself in, or I hope the police find him and all that.
They're going to find him.
More than that, it's just a tragedy for a guy who, from all accounts, was just a really great young guy. And it's just, anytime you have something like that, it's obviously a tragedy. We just wanted to wish his family the best. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends.
Was he 26?
25.
25? Oh, my God. So young.
Yes.
I ain't even getting your life started yet.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, you know, when things happen, you kind of sometimes wonder, you know, what the hell could be the reason behind that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just some things, I guess, are just random, you know, I don't know.
Random tragedies, man.
Yeah, and we just, you know, obviously it's a tragedy. And the MMA, and I know Evan obviously knows this, he's been involved in MMA forever, but despite it being a multi-million dollar thing and being on television every weekend, it's still a relatively small-knit community.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tight-knit group of people that really, you know, follow MMA and report on MMA and fight in MMA. So when something like this happens, it seems like it reaches everybody. So,
which is nice, because everybody's such an asshole all the time in MMA that when they're actually, like, do good things, you're like, oh, yeah, all right, it's good. It's good to see, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is an abundance of, you know, shit that happens in and around this sport.
Yeah.
Seems like everybody's just hoping for someone else to fall so they can, you know, clamor on about it and write stories about it. And somehow, I honestly don't understand how that works. I don't understand how some people feel better, you know, like commenting and enjoying the trouble of others. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's called haters, man. There's a lot of them out there.
It's, I don't see the upside of hate.
It's just too much.
Evan, is your house being attacked by jets?
Yes.
All right.
We're dead now.
We're by the Miramar Air Force Base.
Ah, very cool.
Currently seen, previously seen in the movie Top Gun, Tom Cruise.
Was it really?
It's a fine movie.
You know that?
Now I know.
It's Val Kilmer, of course.
You know Miramar, the Air Force Base right here, right?
Yeah, that's dope as fuck.
Yeah. They actually did the scene that at Kelly McGinnis. The scene at her house that's on my wife's grandmother's street.
Really?
Yeah.
That looks like a lovely neighborhood.
It never looked better.
Nice.
If they have any questions that they want us to talk about, like any wrestling or MMA questions, they can email us too, right? We can talk about.
Yeah, if somebody wants to send us an email that's not whiny and shitty.
You know, they just want to complain to us.
They have that opportunity that you can ask us anything you want about wrestling or MMA or Words with Friends or television shows or anything, and we'll absolutely address it on air.
Happy Star Wars Day. Happy Star Wars Day.
What the hell is Happy Star Wars
Day? Only real nerds know, Dan.
I listen
to it. Because it's May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you?
Yeah.
That is some stupid shit.
It is, but...
Does that mean tomorrow's, like, Return of the Fifth?
No,
that's
fifth
actually pretty
tomorrow.
Clever, Dan. Damn, check out the big brain on bread.
Yeah.
I just never gave up hope, guys.
Yeah, you just believed this whole time.
I knew all my undying love of Star Wars would come in handy someday.
You knew you could do it.
So anyway, guys, that's our intro. Appreciate you listening. Stick around. We have the wonderful Dr. Anne Maria DeMars coming up, talking to us about video games, talking to us about her children and the fighting and why none of the children today go outside and they're too busy playing Call of Duty inside. I am talking about Dion. That's right.
It's true.
Dion and my son.
Playing together.
My son online. Oh, Dion's on. Like, why are you friends? Why are you? You don't need to be friends with Dion. They're like killing people.
You should nip that in the bud. It's not a good idea.
Killing people.
It's Fred B.
Killing people. So, yeah, we talk about all that stuff with Ms. DeMars. Oh, sorry, Dr. DeMars.
That's right. She didn't
go to evil medical school to call her Ms. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Right? Is that it?
That was it.
All right. So stick around. We'll have her on next, and don't go anywhere.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman, the man Dan Rose, and on the road, as you can hear, is Miss Anne Maria DeMars. Dr. Anne Maria DeMars. God, that is great that you are a doctor. Are you like Dr. Evil? You're like, I didn't go to 5 years of medical school to be called Mr. Thank you.
Yes, we actually did that. We applied. We were a part of this MIT startup event one time, and we tried to be voted the most likely for world domination, and that was one of our lines in there. I didn't go to 5 years of medical evil medical school to be called Ms. DeMars, but oh well. I still think we're most likely for world domination myself.
That's awesome. So I actually nailed it. You did... You did exactly the line from Austin Powers.
I did. We said, you know, if you need minions to, like, attach lasers to sharks, you want them to be educated about, say, like, math, right? And be able to read the laser attachment instructions. So they should be able to read, and that's why you would need our game, so you would have better educated minions.
And your game came out yesterday, right? Forgotten Trail?
The latest one did, Forgotten Trail, and I'm super excited about it. Basically, the theme of the game is more than ordinary. That story is, and we did it, it's just based on so many kids I've known over the years, and so many people that, you know, they grew up in a small town, they, you know, no one expects much of them. I've heard so many guys over the years say, oh yeah, I have a strong back and a weak mind. And I think, who tells these kids this, you know? And I teach judo, and a lot of the kids I work with kind of fall in the group of, they're the kids you overlook. They're, you know, they make the good enough grades, the parents and teachers stay off their back. They're good enough athletes, but nobody expects much of them. And so, sort of the theme of the game is more than ordinary. That these kids learn that, you know, they're part of Ojibwe, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Ojibwe migration where, you know, they walked across the continent and they decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show people I'm more than they think. I'm braver than they know. And it's very exciting. It was very cool to work on, and I'm really excited that it came out yesterday.
And so how's the response been for the game so far?
Well, so far it's been really good. I've been at meetings pretty much constantly. In fact, like you said, the only reason I could work this in is I'm driving back from a meeting in San Diego to a meeting in Orange County. But so far it's been really positive. We had done the game as a Kickstarter, and we raised $64,000, which for an educational game is really, really good. Because, you know, educational games is kind of like chocolate-covered broccoli. You know, people don't find it as particularly sexy, and so it's really hard to raise funds for. So, yeah, we did really well in that and sold, I think, 5,000 games in advance. And so we delivered the earlier one a month or two ago, and then we got the feedback from that. And, yeah, it's been good. So we're super excited, as you can tell.
I can tell. And so what was in San Diego? Was it just another meeting on the game and just the mixing of the minds,
you know,
the meeting of the minds?
Actually, when I did judo way back when, that one of the clubs I trained at the most was the Naval Training Center, because that was back before September 11th and all the security restrictions. And you could just go on any military base if they had like a judo club and train with them. And I trained there at least twice a week all through the years I was, you know, the last few years when I was competing to win the world championship. And now every few months they have an old guys judo reunion. And like, we're talking serious old guys, like a lot of these guys fought in World War II. So it's kind of cool, and I try to make it whenever I can. And it used to be it was just me and a bunch of guys, because there were like no women did judo back then. And now since then there's like people invite their wives and stuff, so I'm not the only woman there. But it's just really cool to go and listen to these guys' stories and talk about, you know, how lives, not how good and good looking we used to be.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to notice that now. Now that I'm in my 40s, Dan's in his 40s, I start to like kind of reminisce a lot more. Like, man, I can't believe I used to think I like wasn't anything in my 20s. You know, when I'd give anything to be back in my 20s and handsome and young and free.
Well, these guys are amazing. Like, somebody was telling a story about during World War II in the boiler room in one of these ships, where there was a problem with the boiler, and this young guy who was a teenager, I forget the whole story, like maybe 19, and he locked himself in there to fix the boiler, knowing that it was leaking and it was going to explode and he was going to solve it out. But he did, because that saved the rest of the ship. But they talk about these things that, like, scaling up cliffs. You know, to attack the Germans on the other side, because the only way to get up was to throw these ropes up and scale up. And these are guys who were doing this, you know, when they were teenagers. And, you know, I mean, I love martial arts, and I love judo and all that, but, you know, we thought we were badasses. I mean, I love how these people were teenagers getting shot and, you know, risking their lives. And so it's pretty cool to hang out with them and listen to them.
You know what's even crazier is that back then in World War II, most of the people lied because they wanted to go to war. So even though it said they were 18 and 19, there were 16-year-olds like that were going out there trying to, you know, do these life or death situations.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, that's crazy to me, because that's only 2 years older than my son. And I mean, if it's not Call of Duty on his PlayStation 4, he's not doing anything life or death.
I know, my little Joy had just turned 18, and I'm thinking, all these guys, they were in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the, you know, World War II, when they were her age. You know, and a lot of them, too, it kind of makes you realize how fortunate you are, because, you know, for many of these guys, they're like, some of them are close to my age, so they were, like, in the Vietnam War, and, yeah, they signed up when they were 17. Like, my late husband, Ron, he joined the military the month he turned 17 to get his parents to sign off, because it was their ticket out of the small town they're in. So that kind of shows you where my heart lies, you know, I mean, this game, these guys. So there's no way in hell I had, you know, 4 or 5 hours to drive to San Diego, have lunch, and drive back. So I kind of set up calls like this all the way down and all the way back. So that's my long-winded answer to what was I doing in San Diego.
So Dan, my co-host here, he says don't say anything, but of course I'm going to, because
Evan,
when he says don't say something, I say it. But he donated to your for your game over a year ago. He just sent me the a screen grab of it.
Oh, well, thank you, Dan.
No problem at all.
Dan's one of the good ones, you know. He's like he's always like, yeah, I'll get down on it. No problem. You know, he's always down for the cause. And wow, over a year ago, Dan, that's pretty impressive.
Well,
so you
know,
have to back from the Kickstarter campaign. Awesome.
I did. I just sent Evan the screen grab from it that shows your badge number and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good cause. So anything that we can do, Evan and myself, to help out a good cause, we absolutely will try. So,
you know, I have to say, it really is fun and it works, because I've spent, of course, lots of time playing the game, testing it, and I'm pretty good at math, right? But just the things that, you know, when you're out to lunch and dividing up a check and figuring out the tip and just that kind of math is a lot more on the tip of my tongue. So it really does work, and it's fun, and you learn a lot. So I think we waste so much time in media, not your podcast, but in media that's sort of useless and brainless, that, you know, you may as well spend some of that time learning stuff like, you know, what does crepuscular mean? If you had played Forgotten Trail, you would have found that out when you were deciding whether or not to go into the dark woods where there might be skunks, because skunks are crepuscular creatures.
All right.
Do you know what crepuscular means?
That was the next question. What is crepuscular, and how do you spell it?
C-R-E-P-U-S-C-U-L-A-R. I know this from the game. And crepuscular animals are most active at dawn and dusk. So it means related to dawn and dusk. So when people talk about crepuscular light for photography, they mean the light of the dawn, or when the sun's just setting or rising. And like chinchillas, I have a chinchilla, they're also crepuscular creatures. They're most active when the sun's just going down and coming up.
I did not know that.
See? I told you, educational games, my dad.
Educational podcast now, look at that. The old Twilight series was supposed to be Breaking Crepuscular, but Breaking Dawn just sounded so much better. So, you know, you wear so many hats. You know, we see you post all the time. Like, obviously, there's judo has been a lifelong thing. Then the games that you're doing, and then, you know, you're like, hey, I'm starting a podcast. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I say this a lot of times with wrestlers. Like, there's just something about wrestlers where they start so young and they have that drive to do what they do, because it's not easy doing that. And I think it's the same thing with judo. And now, would you say that drive that you've always had with judo since you were a kid, just that's just how you are? You've got to be on the move. You've got to be doing something. You've got to be putting something out there.
Judo has really helped me being an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of parallels. I think about this a lot, because you have the other people who won world championships, Jimmy Pedro, Mike Swain. They go out and they start, you know, a mat company, or, you know, they start a judo club. And I did a PhD and specialized in applied statistics and make video games. And what the heck? How does that fit? But truly, if you're running a startup, it's one of those things like judo and like wrestling. There's a long grind, let me tell you, every day. And a lot of it is in unappreciated darkness. You know, a friend of mine in judo once said that being really good at judo is kind of like, you know, a pervert in a theater. Like, what you're doing makes you feel happy, but nobody else knows about it. And I think when you're just doing a startup, there's a long period of, you're working on this thing you think is great, it's getting better and better and better every day, but nobody knows about it yet. It's not ready for release to the public. And then the same thing, like, you know, your first game you release, the first version of a game, it's not as good as it's going to be, because that's why things have updates all the time. And it's sort of, again, like when you're doing something like judo or wrestling, you know, at the beginning, you're not nearly as good as you're going to be. And you have to keep doing those repetitions and keep doing it. So I think that discipline, that not giving up, really pays off. I mean, I was just meeting with someone who is a businessman and investor I really respect a lot today. And he said, you know, the key number for your company is 3. You've been in business 3 years. And think how many startups started at the same time as you folded. So, I think sport, especially something like judo, wrestling, where the other person's trying to literally pin you down, are good to practice for experience.
I'm a firm believer. I've just seen it so many times as to, you know, the way people parent, the way people go about their work and their futures, basically. A lot of it stems from athletics like that, like judo, like wrestling, from a young age, when that work ethic is instilled in them, you know, for the sport, they carry that work ethic over into anything else they do. And clearly we're seeing that with you, because like I said, you're like, I'm going to start a blog. I'm doing these games. I'm getting a PhD. I'm still doing judo. I'm doing this. I'm juggling that. I mean, I have an 18-year-old daughter, which is crazy to me.
And she doesn't just say it. She does it.
Exactly.
Anybody can say, I'm going to do all those things. You see that a lot, too. People that say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and you don't ever really hear anything after that. But, yeah, everything that she said she's doing, it's come to fruition.
Getting done.
You know what I said to one of my kids the other day? You know what I'm going to do it in? Not doing shit.
You know, it's so funny to me, because I only have one boy. He's 14. Boys are really easy. You know, you just... You could put a video game in front of them, duh, they go and do it. We're dumb creatures, men. Girls, you have had 4 18-year-olds in your life so far.
Yikes.
That is a tall order.
I had 3 teenagers at once. Nothing scared me. You know, these people come up, threaten me, you talk bad about me on the internet. Yeah, right.
I mean, do you find that? It's interesting to me, because I see a lot of people go... A lot of people who are in the spotlight, they say anything and somebody brings up something else. Like, for example, you talk about your games and people are like, can you say hi to Rhonda for me? And you're like, are you out of your damn mind? Like, I'm telling you what I'm doing with my, like, I think Shayna Baszler posted it the other day, like, just a tweet that was like, no, I can't tell Rhonda a hello for you. Like, no matter what you say, there's just people out there that think that, okay, you're the intermediary between me and this person becoming best friends.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that Rhonda and I aren't going to become best friends now?
Very, Evan? Very slim chance.
Well,
I feel duped.
You know, whenever anybody asks me for Rhonda's contact information, I tell them I have the same role I had in middle school. If that girl wanted you to have her contact information, she would have given it to you herself.
There you go.
Damn straight.
It's a fact. I mean,
Mike Mardones, he goes through the same thing, like with the Diaz brothers. Our friend Cub Swanson, he says anything, and people, he's like, I'm having a great day training right now. And they're like, Conor McGregor would kick your ass. And he's just like, it has nothing to do with anything. They haven't even fought. They haven't even talked to each other. Nothing. But it's like, that's just what's out there right now.
Well, it's like my oldest daughter says. I mean, we love Ron. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love all my kids. I mean, she was just at her niece's first communion because Ron was her godmother. And, you know, she's a great, just because, you know, random Bob Stalker is obsessed with Rhonda doesn't mean that there's nothing else anybody else personally thinks about, you know? Like, you know, the other day, one of Maria's kids flew across the room and tackled the other kid. And we're asking about, you know, what happened? Did Ava start crying? Well, she was too shocked to do anything, but she had a few kicks in before I pulled her off of her. And then somebody says, oh, I bet her Aunt Rhonda taught her. It's like, no. Anybody that had more than one child knows that your kids fight. You don't need anybody to teach them that. I think it's just genetic, yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I'm going to tell you, Dr. Anne Maria, yes, I only have one son, or one child, but hearing stuff like that kind of makes me go, I kind of wish I had more than one, just so he was fighting all the time, because there's just something about siblings. I mean, my brother and I are 8 years apart, so there was no real fighting when we were growing up, because it was an instant L in the L column for me, but I think you need that. You know, I mean, you want to talk about your podcast, about talk about families and kids and stuff? Well, here's a good one to start. I think that it's important to have maybe more than one kid because you need kids to beat the crap out of each other.
Well, the other thing is, as a parent, if you only have one kid, you know who did it. Where if you have more than one child for the rest of your life, they have culpable deniability, right? Oh, my gosh. How do you know my sister didn't do it? I didn't do it. Rhonda and Jennifer, 13 months apart, they were constantly fighting. I would come in and pull those two off each other, and both of them would be like, I was sitting on the couch, Mom, reading the Bible, when she came in and kicked me in the face. And you know that kid's lying. And then the other one starts to cry. I was sitting here on this side of the couch, reading the Bible, and in the dark, because I know you always save electricity, and she came along, kicked me in the face. Yeah, no one ever did anything in the house.
I was just sitting here, you know, like solving world peace, and she came in and kicked
exactly.
me and knocked over a vase.
Yes, yes. Those are stories. And you know what? It's genetic. Because I used to tell my mom the same story. Me and my brothers and sister would be in a all-out, you know, free-for-all. And my mom would come, who broke that window? Nobody, Mom. We were just standing there. It just broke.
I don't know.
Yeah, I had two older sisters, Evan, and I took a steady diet of ass kickings from my sisters growing up, and it was not a treat. It was they're not even. It's kind of embarrassing now that I say it out loud. They're not that older than me, so I must have not been very strong. But it was always, I don't know what was worse, just getting beat up by my sister, and then the look my dad would give me when he walked in the room. He would just look and shake his head and walk out. Like, all right.
That's what I'm well, raising.
You know, you're a girl, you got to defend yourself. My brothers were bigger than me, and, you know, one time I got tired of them picking on me all the time. I snuck it behind one of them and pushed him downstairs.
That is one way.
It's just your listening, Mom. It wasn't me. It was Joy.
The dog knocked him down the stairs. We have a Yorkie. Well, he had a lot of momentum.
He was angry.
That's exactly like the stories that my mom would hear. Poor woman.
How many siblings do you have?
Three brothers and a sister.
Okay, so there was five.
Apparently, my brothers never got that memo about don't hit a girl either. You didn't apply to your sister.
Oh no, hell no! Especially not back then. It was free game. There was you just smack them around. That's what they do. So, but you know what? Some families are like that. My wife's family, they're real handsy, you know? My family isn't like that. Like, we weren't all hands. Hers is all hands, and every time I go and hang out with their family, I'm just like, get off of me!
You know, you know what the thing is with my family? And, you know, my girls are the same way that my brothers and sisters were. They might have smacked me. We might have gotten dropped down, knocked down, dragged out, fight. But by God, if anybody else laid a hand on me. But we were living in Pakistan when I was a kid because my dad was working for the military over there. and some kid from the next, house over, I was probably five, told me to pick up, do something, go fetch him water, whatever, and I, being a five-year-old American little girl, said, go do it yourself. Well, so he picked up a stick and hit me with it, because I guess in Pakistan, if you're the boy and you tell a girl to do something, she does it. But my two brothers, who are probably six and seven, probably took him outside and thrashed him. I mean, they're six and seven. It wasn't like they were beating him with, wax and brass knuckles, but I remember it because it was kind of a big incident at the time, because my dad was in space, and, but, I think they tried to tell my parents, well, that's part of our culture, the world is supposed to do what they're told, and my dad said, well, that's part of our culture, somebody hit your sister, you check their ass.
Yep.
Part of our culture is five-year-old girls telling someone, nah, go do it yourself.
That's right.
That's great, though. I mean, but I think that makes for fantastic stories. I mean, because, look, let's face it. Every time any of us go get together with our families, the stories come out. And the ones that we were the most heated about at the time are the funniest stories.
Yes.
That's true.
Because, I mean, I remember my brother, we were throwing spaghetti at each other. And, you don't wash spaghetti afterwards, if you just let it, what's it called, the starchiness of it, it sticks to things.
Yeah.
So we were throwing it at the fridge, and then we start throwing it at each other. And again, he's 8 years older than I am, so he's 17, and I'm this little kid, and I mean, we were laughing, then he hit me, right between the eyes, and it stuck there, and I lost my fucking mind. I lost my shit. And every single time we have a family dinner, I'm crying now talking about how funny it was. But at that time, it was probably the worst thing in the world to ever happen to me.
That's pretty glorious.
It's kind of like every day that you had with your sisters, Dan.
Oh yeah! Every time we all get together, the cornerstone of all the Rose family stories is I end up looking like a jackass in literally every single one of them. So that's just gravy. But yeah, they were brutal, man. My sisters are bad news.
So, Dr. Anne Maria, so do you ever have a full house anymore? I mean, with four girls over 18.
Now, Julia hasn't gone off to college yet, so she goes to prep school, so she's home on the weekends. And we'll probably get together a few times a year, because now all the girls live in the LA area. So, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, this week I happen to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, teaching judo. But, several times a year we get together, and Jennifer will just randomly decide to have a barbecue because she has a house in the valley and she has a big backyard that she likes to rub in everybody else's face because the rest of us live in Santa Monica and Venice. We get together fairly often.
Yeah, and then everything flies, right? It's no holds barred when everyone gets together.
You know what? There's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of those stories about when you were younger, or now Maria has three kids. So there's a lot of, the last time we were at Jen, she put on music, and I don't know why the kids thought it would be hysterically funny to be doing the Macarena, stuff like that. So, we do a lot of it. We normally, every family get together, we do a picture for my mom, because my mom's not a big Facebook person, I guess, because she's 83. And so we'll do a theme, we'll have everybody wear funny hats or everybody in sunglasses. But this last time we didn't do it because it came out that my granddaughter, Amelia, who had just turned four, had never heard of Duck Duck Goose. Can you believe that?
What?
What?
Duck, duck, goose? Yes.
Oh, my
so
goodness. How have
all
you
of
not,
us.
How hasn't that happened?
So all of us, from Amelia's dad, who is 6'4", to, her sister, her little brother, who is 16 months old, and everybody in between got a big circle, and we played duck, duck, goose in my living room a bunch of times so that Amelia could go off to kindergarten, not having been denied part of the major focus in childhood. So, yes, we're very immature as a general rule.
I mean, you say we're immature, but when you say she's never heard of Duck Duck Goose, I'm like, well, that's not immature. That's part of a four-year-old. You need to know that
right.
Game.
That game is fading, my friends. That and, did you play Red Rover when you were younger, Evan?
Yeah, of course. Red Rover, send Dan Rose over, and then your sister would beat you up.
Thank you for throwing that part in. My nieces and nephews growing up, they had no idea what any of that was. It's like, you don't know how to play Red Rover? I mean, come on. Yeah, they don't know. It's like, they play video games when they're 6 years old, 5 years old, and too busy on their cell phones and social media, and it's like, actually going out and playing is just doesn't happen. I remember, like, I grew up in Montana, and my cousin and I would literally go out in the dirt all day and play with matchbox cars. We would, like, make roads, make little houses, like tunnels and stuff. And I tried to tell my nephew about it now. He's in college now. He's like, you would play in the dirt? And I was like, yeah, dude. We would, like, lay in the dirt all day until we got called in to hose off and eat dinner and go to bed. And he's like, why would you play in the dirt? And I was like, what? It's because we had dirt. It's we played it.
He's just like, you guys figured, dude. That's how you assess how much of a good time a kid had during the day when you come to pick them up somewhere by how much dirt is on them.
Boom.
Right?
Exactly right.
They're covered in dirt. They had a great time. They're spotless and their little pretty dress is all wrinkle-free. Must have been a suck day for the kids.
I mean, we had a big pond growing up, and we used to play in the pond. And when my nephew turned like 12, I was like, hey, you want to go swimming out in the pond? He's like, no. It's like it was the stupidest thing I ever could have asked him. He was like, no, I'm not going in that water. It's like, jeez.
Well,
Joe,
we do play video games, of course, a lot in our family, too, since, you know, we make games. So there's a lot of that. And there's a lot of competitiveness in the family, you might guess. So sometimes some people will be losing at video games and jump on top of other people.
I like how you, like, withheld the names to protect the innocent.
Protect the innocent.
Oh, no, because all the names would fit in there.
Yeah, video games can do that.
But you notice how she said it, like, but some people, like someone in your family is going to listen to this and be like, damn, she's talking about me. Some people can't play video games without attacking their sister.
It's like, damn it.
Well, you know what's crazy, though, too? It's like now that Rada's gotten well-known, like, everybody thinks every story has to do with Rada. I even had somebody call up and say, you know, I just did, or every time you write in your blog, you write about Rada, and I'd written about some crazy thing that happened. And it was some crazy person we had hired and then immediately fired because they turned out to be crazy. And, yeah, you never know.
Why are you always writing about your child? Just because you don't maybe want to hear about her because she's in the news. She's my child. Before
right.
this,
well, and sometimes I'm not writing about her. It's like, you know, this person did something really crazy, and we told them that you shouldn't do it, and they did it again, and so then we kicked them the hell out. It's like, oh, I know you're writing about Ron, and it's like, no, it was the crazy person that you work for me, and I say, for example, don't change anything in the common functions file because they're used in all through the game. That's why they're called common functions. That's the meaning word common. Don't change anything in there, and then you change things in there. When I say don't change anything in there, and those are really short words, then you're going to get your sorry ass fired. And it has nothing to do with Rhonda, but somehow or other, somebody says, well, I know it was really an analogy. What is wrong? You know,
yeah, and the sad thing is, it's not just average people, it's media sites. And then it, like, becomes a news story.
And it becomes a news story, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why. This is my big gripe about these media sites. They kind of reprint the same story over and over and over. There's an investigative journalism, for God's sake. You know, Google something, even.
That doesn't happen.
If you haven't noticed, 90% of, and I'm very critical of the MMA media, and we refuse to talk about MMA on the show unless our guests just start talking about it, but I can't stand the MMA media. I mean, just all every day it's something like it's always showing like somebody's going off on Twitter. Like, really? Someone's going off on Twitter like that? You know, when I write Twitter posts, usually it's between brushing my teeth and going to the bathroom, and I'm just kind of sitting there like, what am I feeling right now? Then I'll put it down, and it's usually garbage and should be taken at face value. But people are writing full articles and getting paid talking about nothing.
And then somebody, 90 people will copy and paste that exact same article on their site. Yes.
And you just put the headline on Twitter to get clicks, and, you know, it's not good.
So,
here's what I think on all of those things. Get a person on the media, get a person on the internet who I have never, as much as your opinion pains me, oh wait, I forgot, I don't care.
Don't care at all. And that's the thing. Like, it's become like Dan playing in the dirt. You know, going back to that, and it's just I've become a sissified nation with this whole. I mean, I'm cool with social media. It's a great way to interact, but like. I would love if my kid was outside right now, but I know he's downstairs looking at vines from the internet. Like, I don't even have to wonder what he's doing. I know he's, you know, 30 yards away.
You should have him play our games, and I will send you a link to Julia talking about being the voice of Angie. But that doesn't trick my games, nothing wrong. Yeah, I know what you mean about, you know, people on the internet being so offended about everything, too. And it doesn't matter what you say, somebody's offended. Like, we have these games where you shoot deer because they're based on history. And you wouldn't believe the number of people said to me, well, why do the Indians have to shoot the deer? Well, because that's what they do. Well, why are they shooting those wolves? Well, because it says the wolves have rabies and wolves get rabies. And somebody says, that's completely false. And I sent them a link to the National Park Service talking about when wolves get rabies, they're actually more aggressive than the typical animal gets rabies. And they will bite many people in a single attack. And then a lot of people say, well, I couldn't do that. I'm vegan. Can't you make a game where the American Indians make friends with the deer? And I'm thinking, what do we call it? Fucking lion history? No!
That
is just insane to me.
We call it bullshit history. And then the pilgrims came.
I get that all the time.
They made a tofu turkey.
We won't play your game because they're shooting wolves and Indians. Well, the Indians are shooting Indians. Indians are shooting deer and buffalo. Well, what do you think? Like, my friend Dr. Eric Lange, he's from the Spirit Lakes Dakota Nation. He was out visiting one time, and my daughter Jennifer, who was vegetarian, said to him, well, Dr. Lange, you know, people, didn't the Dakota, you know, historically, didn't they have vegetarians? And Eric says, well, we did. We called him, and he rattled off some words in Dakota. And Jennifer says, well, what does that mean? He said, it's Dakota for bad hunter. So, yeah, that was their view of vegetarian.
That's funny.
Does the Indian have to be killing a buffalo? You're like, have you studied U.S. history before or no? Like, well, I think that's racist. Oh, God. And then, racist, sexist. We got called sexist last week. Oh, it's everybody.
Man, yeah, we got beat up over
everybody
that.
Everybody got something to say.
Well, our games are played in schools, and some of the school, and, you know, there's stuff like teaching about how people live, which I think is the interesting part about history, like how, you know, Native Americans would go out in canoes at night, and they didn't have all the, you know, they didn't have what is called bass fishing shops or whatever, right? They would hold out torches, and so the light would attract the fish, and they would come up to the surface, and they'd spear them. Now, can you imagine how tough it must be to be holding a torch in one hand, a spear in the other, and standing in a canoe? I mean, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, so, you know, we have a party game where you're spearing fish at night, and people say, well, we can't have that. That's violence. And, dude, you're in a school in South L.A. You have no idea. I mean, there was a school, you know, I guess I know where. The South L.A. school's actually been really good about playing our games, so, you know, props to them. But some of these other cities that are really urban schools, like, hey, you people, I know you, and you bail out of the school at 3 o'clock because you won't be in this neighborhood once it's dark, and you're telling me these kids, who I know some of them, didn't show up at school last week because, you know, they were told to shelter in place because there was a shooting outside, and they can't play a video game because you speared a fish. So, yeah, I have a low tolerance for people who want history or even the present to be different than it is. I mean, I think it's great if you have goals for it to be different than it is and are working towards that. But if you just want to pretend that things are different, I don't have much tolerance for that.
It's like you have to want to be offended on some of these
things. Yeah, exactly.
It's like you have to, like, want to go out of your way to find something that's like, wait a minute, that could be construed as offensive on some level. I'm going to make that my new rally and hashtag spearing fish is offensive.
Well, like, we had somebody write us to say, you know, I'm really offended about your portrayal of Native Americans. And now, the first game we did, Spirit Lake, we had our cultural consultant that helped us with some stories was Eric Lange, who is from the Spirit Lake Dakota Nation, lived there his whole life, got first member of his tribe to get a doctorate, wrote a dissertation on American Indian, wrote a master's thesis on, you know, basically he's the man. And then Lorraine Graybear, who's the only person, I people I know that Dakota is her first language was a Native consultant. And so this guy runs it off and offended by your portrayal of Native Americans. And Eric says, forward it to me. He writes the guy and says, you know, I'm a member of the Spirit Lake Nation. I helped with the design of this. This is my expertise. Because Eric's much more professional than me. And say, who the hell are you? And the guy's like, well, you know, I'm part Cherokee and I'm not actually enrolled in any tribe. But so, yeah, I think some people just make a hobby of being offended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we found out, we got emails. Like, who writes an email about being offended? It's 2016, and people are like, look, I just have to say, your words were very, very hurtful. Like, we're not spewing hate. People aren't spewing.
We got over 40 emails last week about people being offended.
It was someone telling someone else to write emails is what it was.
The sad thing is I had to respond to them.
No, you didn't. But,
you know.
But
we probably shouldn't even talk about it.
Regardless, it was just, it's just people are going, who writes a letter? You know, you write a letter when you get bad service, maybe, you know?
Even then, it's got to be really bad service.
It's got to be really bad. But
take that with you to, like, if you go to a restaurant for dinner and you get bad service, but you take that with you home, and then you, like, are still thinking about it the next day enough to sit down and write a letter. It's like, just to me, I mean, it's just like, okay, well, that wasn't the best service. I'm just going to go on living my life.
Yeah, exactly. That dinner sucked. That dinner sucked. He get his 20% tip, and now I'm going to live my life. Like,
yep.
How is it that people get offended? I just don't know how you get offended by anything. Like, nothing offends me because I don't listen to it. Like, politics, some people are really into politics. I think they're absolutely bananas, these people that are running for president or people in office. So you know what I do? I don't watch anything political, and I'm pretty happy.
When April Fool's Day came, weren't you disappointed that they didn't all come out on TV and go, April Fool's, here's the real candidate? I was waiting for that.
Yeah, Joe Biden's kicking himself now, I'll bet you.
I know, he should have run.
Yep.
Everybody go, what do you think of Ted Cruz? I don't know who Ted Cruz is. I don't know. They show me a picture of him, and I go,
he's the Zodiac Killer.
Zodiac Killer is correct.
There you go. He's the Zodiac Killer. I saw that on my Facebook page.
Did you see the gif of him elbowing and accidentally punching his wife after?
I did see that.
That is, to me, one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
She looked extremely uncomfortable. And
she was just like, He's just like, the most awkward hug I've ever seen anyone give anybody.
But that's the thing, like, people get offended, like, everything he says. My wife comes home, and she starts talking, and I just start staring at the floor, like, why are you talking about this? You know, I don't even vote. Like, why? And then you tell someone you don't vote, they're like, you don't vote? And I'm like, oh, God. Nothing I can say. Basically, only my child is the only one that doesn't judge me.
That's true. I judge you all the time.
And I asked him if he thought I was handsome the other day, and he said I have a funny face.
You asked your son if he thought you were handsome? That is vanity run amok, sir.
No, I was like, well, because I lost 20 pounds. And I'm like, come on, admit it. Admit it. Look at your friend's dads and look at me. I'm one sexy dad, right? And he goes, because I'm messing with him, of course. And he said, no, you have a really funny face. And I was like, damn. Like, damn.
Keeping it real.
Damn. Kids, hey, Dr. Anne Maria, do your kids ever tell you have a funny face?
They do not. They tell me, oh, my God, Mom, you're in great shape. I hope it looks like you when I'm old. Which would bother me if it bothered me to be old, but it doesn't. Because, you know, people say, oh, you know, I go to say, oh, you're wearing Mom jeans. Well, and I am a sexy mom, so
Well, I'm a mom and I'm wearing jeans. Did you ever see that Saturday Night Live skit where they were like, the mom jeans? Where they're like,
Mom jeans!
Mom jeans! And, like, and it comes with a patented 7-inch zipper or 9-inch zipper, you know, that goes way.
Yeah, it's a funny deal.
We can't talk about that or it'll be sexist.
Well, by definition, all of my jeans are mom jeans.
Right. And get mine are dad jeans. And they say, you know, I got a dad bod. You know why? Because I'm a dad, and this is my bod. And apparently a funny dad face, which is a shame. All right. Well, we know that we got to let you go because you got things to do and people to see and places to drive. But before we let you go, we want you to kind of plug whatever you want to plug as far as your games are concerned, your Twitter, where they could find you, email, Facebook, what you got going on, where people could donate, everything. So go ahead and lay it all out there.
Okay. So the main thing is you should check out www.7, that's the number 7, 7generationgames.com. And you can buy any of our games for yourself. You can donate them to a school. You can donate them to a kid you like. You should like some kids. And I would say check them out. Forgotten Trail is a new game, and it's about being more than ordinary. It's really, really cool and awesome. And I am on Twitter. I tweet about my company and statistics and software stuff at Ann Maria Stats, as in statistics. And I tweet about random stuff on life at Dr. Dr. Ann Maria. And I have a blog called drannmaria.blogspot.com. And I also have a blog on the 7 Generation Games site. So, yeah, I'm all over the place. And we're starting a podcast soon in our quest for world domination. So, yeah, that's about it.
I like it.
Take it out in the world.
One quick question before we let you go. What age bracket is the new game targeted at?
I would say mostly 8 and up. So I would say grades 4 through 7 mostly.
Okay.
So, anybody who likes to play would just find the playing part of it fun. But if you, don't understand fractions at all or don't know how to, read a graph, it would probably be hard for you.
Well, that rules me out.
You know what, though? Try stuff that's hard for you. Good for you.
There you go.
Is there a complaint section that I could whine about people killing fish?
Yeah, email it to don'tgiveashit@7generationgames.com.
Hey, we need that same email address for ourselves.
Awesome. Well, that's a perfect way to end this show. Thank you very much, Dr. Ann Maria. We appreciate you. You are welcome anytime to come here. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.